Are you struggling to live a good life? Are you working hard to do what you know and feel is right to do, but you seem to often do the opposite of what you want? Are you struggling to find a way to make the right decision in your life? Are you tired of the battle that is going on in your life that you want to please God, but you feel like you're falling short? I want you to know that God knows all about your struggles. Jesus is all aware of what you're going through. In fact, Jesus knew that we would all struggle with these things. And so Jesus told us that he would send us help, that he would provide a way for us to have the strength and the power to overcome this struggle that's going on within us. That's why Jesus gave this instructions to his disciples. And then the instruction even falls through to us. The promise of this instruction is still true to us today. And in Acts chapter 1, we find these words. It says, on one occasion while he, that's Jesus, was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is a great day for us to pause and remember and take into account all that God provides for us through the person of the Holy Spirit and through the power of the Holy Spirit that comes into our lives. The account of Pentecost Sunday is found for us in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, the beginning of this story. That whole chapter is a fabulous story. We don't have time, of course, to read all that today. And maybe sometime today or this week, you'll have an opportunity to read that and just read the whole story and all that God did that day. But I want to zero in on a few parts of that original day of Pentecost. And so Acts chapter 2 opens with these words, when the day of Pentecost came. We're just going to pause there for a minute. When the day of Pentecost came, why is that day got a name? Well, that's what we need to understand this morning. Many times in our current church world, we think that the day of Pentecost is called that because that's the day the Holy Spirit was poured out on people and on believers. But that's not the case. The day of Pentecost was already a day on the calendar, much like if I were to say to you, what is December the 25th called? You should have said Christmas. We know that Christmas Day is December 25th. Well, the same for the Jewish people who gathered in Jerusalem. That day was the day of Pentecost. So let's look at what the day of Pentecost really meant to the Jewish believers, the Jewish people, and the Jewish believers in particular. Pentecost is the name of a Jewish feast. It's actually the Greek name of a Jewish feast. The feast is called the Feast of Weeks. It's a feast that's celebrated around the barley harvest. God instituted, there's a blooper reel for you. God instituted seven feasts for Israel to celebrate throughout the year to commemorate certain things in their history and certain aspects about God's relationship with the children of Israel. And the Feast of Weeks was one of these seven feasts. It was also one of the pilgrim feasts where people would often travel to Jerusalem to attend and to celebrate this feast. So where does it get its name? It's the Feast of Weeks. Well, it gets its name from this. God told Israel to celebrate the Feast of Weeks 7 weeks plus one day after the Sabbath after Passover. And so if you were to count that out on a calendar, you would find it's 50 days. And the Greek term Pentecost comes from that idea because Pentecost means 50. So 50 days after the Sabbath of Passover, 50 days later, Pentecost later, is when happens this Feast of Weeks. Now, by the time that Jesus' disciples are gathered in Jerusalem that day, the Feast of Weeks also gained to its celebration the remembrance of the giving of the law, especially the Ten Commandments and all of that. That's found in Exodus chapters 19 and 20, and you read the story there. But I want to give you some details about this feast and all that it meant. There's also a Jewish tradition that says it took Moses and the Israelites 50 days to travel from Egypt when they escaped slavery through the hand of God till they got to Mount Sinai. And there's 50 days there. It's just tradition. We don't know. But here's what happens in Exodus chapters 19 and 20 about the original giving of the law. And there's some things that happen there on Mount Sinai that are very particular and very important for us to remember as we look at the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. On that day, the Bible tells us a trumpet was sounded. And not only was a trumpet sounded, but it grew louder and louder and louder as it progressed, this great, mighty sound. Then the Bible makes it clear for us that the presence of God came down on the mountain and met with Moses, and there was fire and smoke billowing and encompassing the top of Mount Sinai. And then we're even led to understand that God thundered his voice and God spoke to the people of Israel gathered around the bottom of Mount Sinai. In fact, the Bible tells us that the people heard the voice of God and they became so frightened that they trembled in fear and in reverence for the power of God. So when the law was given on Mount Sinai, there are three specific things that happened. I need you to catch this. There was a loud noise. There it was, trumpet blasts. There was fire and smoke, and there was God speaking and thundering. We see similar things happening on the day of Pentecost as we read it in Acts chapter 2. And so if you look with me at Acts chapter 2, if you've got your Bibles or if you're following us on YouVersion, we're told these words. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. See, Jesus knew that we would need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to live for Jesus in this life. That's why in Acts 1:8, Jesus, when he told his disciples to wait for the promise, he said this, when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me rephrase that. When you receive power, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus told us that God will give us power through the Holy Spirit. And because that day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, because the Holy Spirit was poured out on mankind in Acts chapter 2, accessibility to the Holy Spirit's power has been given to us. And so this morning I want to zero in on a couple of things that we see here in Acts chapter 2 that pertain to us today, that they were relevant and real in the time of the early disciples, and they're true for us today. And the first is this, and you have to understand this, the power of the Holy Spirit is for you. It's for you. Acts chapter 2, we read these words, and all of them were filled. The Holy Spirit has come just like Jesus promised. And it wasn't just for a few. It wasn't just for the disciples there. It wasn't just for the 120 that were gathered there. But it's for all men and for all time. The Holy Spirit has come. He hasn't come just for me and just for you and just for a few of us. But he has come for all of mankind. In fact, Peter, who later in Acts chapter 2 would begin to preach a sermon to that crowd in Jerusalem, and you can read that this week, but in verse 17, these words are recorded for us. In the last days, God says, and Peter is now quoting the prophet Joel. He says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Young men will see vision. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. This is an all-inclusive language. It's men and women. It's old. It's young. The Holy Spirit is for all of us. The Holy Spirit has come, and His power is for you. God is not holding back His promise from anyone. The power of the Holy Spirit is available to you. Will you accept what God has for you? Will you accept this gift that God has for you? Another thing we see here is the power of the Holy Spirit is always with you. That word always is key. The power of the Spirit is always with you. See, I need you to understand this in contrast to the time before the Holy Spirit came. The days before Acts chapter 2, back to the days of Abraham and Moses and Elijah and Elisha. Back to the days of the prophets of old and the judges of old and the kings of old. It wasn't the same for them as it is for us. See, in the Old Testament, often the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, would come and rest on individuals. And He would either rest on them for specific purposes or for a specific office. The Old Testament, we're told in stories in Exodus, where the Holy Spirit would enable the craftsmen, where the Holy Spirit would raise up judges and kings and prophets for a time and for a season, some of them for the duration of their lives. Sometimes it was just for a short time. The Holy Spirit was not accessible to the vast majority of people. The Holy Spirit would only come on certain people at certain times for certain reasons. Just like I'd mentioned to you, some of those examples would be people like Aaron, Moses' brother, who the Spirit came on him so he would be the priest of Israel. Bezalel was one of those men that was anointed by the Spirit of God to become a skilled craftsman and help build the tabernacle and different things. Elijah and Elisha, the Spirit of God rested on them. The Spirit of God came on David, the shepherd boy, to turn him into the great king of Israel. It was for a certain people, or just a few people, for just a certain time. But today, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, today, when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, it's permanent. It's not just for a season. It's not just for a task. It's not just for a short time. Now, when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you receive the power of that Spirit for the rest of your life. Actually, you receive the power of the Spirit for all of eternity. As long as you invite the Holy Spirit to be part of your life, as long as you make room for the Holy Spirit in your life, He will remain with you. You have the privilege of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and it's not temporary. It's for the rest of your life. It's for every day. It's for every moment. The Holy Spirit comes to empower you to live every day for God. One more thing I want us to understand about the power of the Holy Spirit today is the power of the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to live for Jesus. Like I said at the beginning, sometimes we struggle with doing the right thing, making the right decisions, or not knowing what the right decision is, and we're looking for help. And Jesus knew that. That's why He promised us, I am going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and He will baptize you with power. Jesus knew that when He left this world to ascend back to heaven, that another helper would need to come our way. He is the Holy Spirit. He is our helper, our comforter. He is our encourager and our counselor. The Holy Spirit empowers you to live for Jesus because you cannot do it on your own. That's why we struggle. Because sometimes we won't try and do it on our own. We try to read the Word and say, I'm just going to do the Word on my own. But we can't do the Word on our own. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the power of the Holy Spirit comes to us. And one of the first things he does, he helps us to live in a way that honors Jesus. Our best intentions are not good enough. Our best tries are not adequate. We need to learn to follow what Jesus said and what Jesus taught. We need to live according to the words that are in the Bible, the words especially that Jesus teaches us. We need to learn to live by that. And the Holy Spirit comes to help us live to honor Jesus. Another thing the Holy Spirit does, he helps you to resist sin by speaking into your life. You know, there's a temptation for sin that often comes into our lives. There's a time when we're tempted to do what we know we shouldn't do. There's times we're tempted to maybe say things we shouldn't say or act in ways we shouldn't act. There are times when we're torn because the pull of the world and the pull of sin sometimes seems to be so great. But Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And by his power, he will help you to overcome the pull of sin. The Holy Spirit comes, and sometimes in those moments when we're facing dilemma, sometimes in the moments when we're feeling weak or torn, it's like the Holy Spirit begins to come and speak into our hearts and into our lives and begins to remind us of the promises of God and the ways of God and the words of Jesus and encourages us to live for Jesus. The Holy Spirit provides guidance in our lives. You know, when you're facing tough decisions, when you're facing a dilemma, when you're facing that proverbial fork in the road, when you don't know which path in life you should take next, when you need wisdom either in dealing with a situation or making a decision, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit is our divine counselor. We need to learn to listen to him. We need to learn to trust him. And then we need to learn to obey and follow his direction. Another thing that the Holy Spirit power brings to us is the Holy Spirit helps you to be a witness for Jesus. See, Jesus is concerned about you and about me, but he's also concerned about the lost around us. He's concerned about those who don't know him, those who do not have a relationship with God yet. And Jesus said, yes, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to help you, but it's more than just for you. It's for this world. This world needs Jesus. And this world needs us to tell people about Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit helps you to be a witness in your life for Jesus. He gives you the boldness to speak. He gives you the wisdom to speak. He even helps you in the words that you need to speak into a certain situation. God's plan is for you to use your life to share God's story with others. Have you been hiding your story? Have you been afraid to share what Jesus means to you with others? Have you been shy, bashful, frightened, maybe a little afraid? I want you to know that when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, he came to equip you, to bolden you, to overcome the fear and to help you to be a witness, to share God's story for your life and in this world. And here's the beautiful part of the story. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and he comes to live inside of you. He comes to be with you wherever you go, 24/7. The Spirit never sleeps. 24/7, he is always with you. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, the Holy Spirit is with you, and he's there for you. You are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And that's never been more knowledgeable than today. We're living in a time of this pandemic where COVID-19 has shut down our society, shut down our church buildings for safety reasons. And yet the beautiful picture on the day of Pentecost is this. We don't need to go to a building for those of you who call Highway home, we don't have to go to the Highway building to find the presence of God, because the presence of God dwells inside every believer who receives Him and accepts Him. So today, wherever you are, wherever you're watching this or listening to this, the Holy Spirit dwells with you. Yes, it's great to be together. One day, hopefully sooner than later, we'll be back in a church building. We'll be back where we can gather and worship God together and hear from God together. But in the meantime, we are not weaker because we're not in our building. In fact, maybe we could be stronger because it's the day of Pentecost. It's the day the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and equips us and empowers us. And today, right where you are, the Holy Spirit is with you as you watch this online service today. You have the power of the Holy Spirit with you. Have you tried living for Jesus on your own strength? Have you tried to do it in your own might and in your own power, and you find that it's not working? It doesn't work. You and I don't have enough strength in our own bodies. We don't have enough power in our own will to single-handedly live for Jesus. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us, equip us to live for Jesus. See, the power of the Holy Spirit is for you. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not the select few. It's all believers. It's for you. The power of the Holy Spirit is always with you. The Holy Spirit will not remove Himself from you. He comes to live with you today, tomorrow, and through eternity. The power of the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to live for Jesus today. You don't have the strength in your own life to live for Jesus. Our human abilities will fail us, but the power of the Holy Spirit will enable us. Will you accept the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Will you learn to trust what He tells you? Will you learn that living for Jesus is the call of a true believer? Will you accept the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? If you're listening to me this morning, if you're already a believer in Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, and you haven't received the power of the Holy Spirit, I want you to know right here, right now, right where you're sitting, right where you're listening or watching, the Holy Spirit could come into your life right now. His power will enable you and equip you. Or maybe you're watching today and you say, Pastor, I've never made a decision for Jesus. I've never committed my life to accept Jesus. Maybe you don't even know what it means to accept Jesus. Let me try and make that simple for you today. To accept Jesus means you accept what Jesus said in the Bible. You accept that Jesus is who He said He is, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that He died for your sins. To believe Jesus. Believe that what's written in the Bible is true about Him, and that you want to take that belief and make it personal. That's accepting Jesus. And you can do that today, right where you are. You can simply just bow your head in prayer and simply say, Jesus, I accept who You are. Come and forgive me of my sin. In fact, let me help you with that this morning. Let me help you, but I'm going to lead in a prayer. And if you want to accept Jesus, maybe for the very first time in your life, would you just pray this prayer quietly? If you're in with other people and you're shy, that's okay. Or maybe you're alone, you want to pray it out loud. But just repeat this prayer after me. It's very simple. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I acknowledge who You are, and I accept what the Bible says about You. That You are the Son of God. You came to this world because You loved me. You died to forgive my sins. And I ask You now to forgive me of my sin. And Holy Spirit, I invite You into my life to give me the power to live for Jesus. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to let me know. And if you take your phone and you would text me, would you text the word love to our church number, which is 416-267-1189. Text me, and then we'll be in touch with you. We want to help you grow in your relationship with God and know more about the Jesus who loves you and died for you. Would you close this service in prayer with me this morning? Dear Jesus, thank you for the opportunity we have to remember the day of Pentecost, to remember how you gave us the power of your Holy Spirit, because we need your Spirit's help and strength in our life. Help us to live for you. Help our lives count for you. Help us to be true witnesses of who you are in this world and in this life today. In the name of Jesus, we pray.